Good evening, folks. This is AMAD. Janice isn't around, so I've picked it up, and her guest has still joined us anyways. It's Vinny Eastwood, and I've had him on radio before. He's an awesome guy. He's down from down there at in New Zealand, and pretty much I think he's the only New Zealand radio broadcaster there is out there. Is that right, Vinny?
Certainly not the only one with a five-day-a-week radio broadcast and gets to talk to all the top American talking heads that you'd normally expect on InfoWars, yeah.
Do you want to give everybody a rundown of who you are just in case they don't know who you are? I know who you are.
But okay, well, you've heard of the phrase, he's one in a million. I'm one in 5 million. There's currently 5 million New Zealanders walking the earth today. I am the one who has the most popular, most frequent truth radio show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com Monday through Friday, which in New Zealand is Tuesday through Saturday, 5 till 7 Central Standard Time. That's 6 till 8 Eastern, 3 till 5 p.m. Pacific. And for New Zealanders, it's 10 a.m. through midday. But, of course, when the time zone changes, it goes like up to midday till 2 p.m., which is good because then I can actually, you know, get some sleep. Unfortunately, I don't really do that during the winter. As of right now, I'm pretty hyped up on coffee right now because I haven't had enough sleep, as you can probably tell.
Well, what about 16 hours ahead of us?
Yeah, right now it's like 8 o'clock in the evening on the 8th of August.
So you're pretty much 24 hours ahead of me then.
I was talking about that's Eastern time, you know, so in New York right now they believe it's, you know, Thursday night, right?
Right.
In New Zealand, it's Friday afternoon.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying it was Friday night is what I thought you were saying. I'm sorry.
Well, it's Friday afternoon for me, and we're nearly a full day ahead of you. I think it's something along the lines of 22 hours, you know, which is good because when I broadcast live, it's from the future. So we give you up-to-date news and chronicles. There's a special section on the website where you can send in your lottery numbers. We'll check them for you. I joke, of course.
Oh, that's cute. I like that.
Now, also, in terms of New Zealand, the media here is... I guess shocking is the word that I would use. Shockingly inept, inadequate, foolish, incapable of covering anything to that is of importance. And if they do cover with importance issues, they glance over them rather than taking a deeper look. And I noticed this problem when I was sitting at home listening to what must have been hours upon hours of Alex Jones every day. Getting myself really angry and worked up and yelling at family, yelling at friends, calling people scum, getting in politicians' faces with my camera, asking them really tough and nasty questions. And it occurred to me that I had become New Zealand's alternative media. So I started this thing called Guerrilla Media with a friend of mine. Who the idea of guerrilla media, the real guerrilla media, there's an imitator out there and they are not to be trusted and they're complete psychopaths. Look at it this way. If your idea is good enough to steal, it must be a pretty freaking good idea, right? So here's the idea. There are a lot of activists out there who know how to speak, know how to research, can in some cases be profoundly good public speakers at protests with megaphones and so on and so forth. And my role in guerrilla media is to be what they can't be for themselves. So if they can't afford a giant megaphone with a wireless microphone, I turn up with that megaphone and that wireless microphone so that I can give amplification to their voice.
Right.
And if at the same time they don't have a cameraman to click on a Bluetooth wireless microphone to their lapel so you can record audio straight from the source from up to 100 feet away, I'm there with that technology. If they don't have people filming, I'm there to film. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And every single bit of equipment that I lend to the activists. I mean, like, I retain control of it, but what I do is I effectively use it so that A, everybody at the protest can hear what these important people are saying. B, when you're watching the video online, it's actually nice and crisply cut and high quality video, as well as high quality audio, so you know and can hear and are not put off by terrible sound quality and so on and so forth, so that people will actually want to listen to them more as they're speaking. Now, there is nobody else in New Zealand who comes even remotely close to the amount of news and information and protests and public meetings and coverage that I do. Nobody comes even within a hair's breadth. Not in this country. Internationally, I'm pretty, I would say, up and coming.
You do pretty good internationally.
Yeah, but still, like, I'm with the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's in the top million websites in the world. Which is not pretty bad.
No, that ain't bad at all.
But you have a look at things like DavidIke.com, who's like 1,600. Or you have a look at InfoWars, that is like at, I think they're in the top 100 websites or something like that in America, like top 70 or whatever. It's just massive, gargantuan. So if you have a look at what I've done for New Zealand on the New Zealand perspective alone, sure, I'm doing really well and getting the word out there, publishing hours of video per day. That's no exaggeration there. There's that much video going up on my YouTube channel per day that basically, if you tried to watch everything that I can make in a day, you'd spend a lot of time looking at and listening to me, because that's how much content I produce every day of the week.
What's your YouTube channels?
It's Mr. News Guerrilla Media. It's a bit of a long-winded one. I've got to change that. But basically, if you just search Vinnie Eastwood on YouTube, it'll come up with my channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media. Not that difficult to find. And it's Vinnie Eastwood, like Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood as in, go ahead, make my news. And I do something very different to what I see the vast, almost entirety of the truth movement talk radio show hosts do. I mean, they'll occasionally have a few laughs. They'll occasionally tell a joke or something. They'll occasionally be a little bit silly or play with words. But the bulk of the time, it's extremely serious. So me, like the Joker of the truth movement, almost, I take the little plan and I turn it on its head. There's got to be some way of balancing this equation between serious and comedy, because I understand that having a few laughs, having nice conversations with people, even if you're not even part of the conversation, can be extremely uplifting for people, and it helps to remind them that they're still alive and that stuff ain't that bad. Even when everything crumbles all around you, if you've still got your sense of humor, you will still retain your sanity.
Okay, you have to have a slight sense of humor or a dark sense of humor to be involved in this type of business.
See, you need a slight sense of humor, but for me, I need an uproarious consistency sort of sense of humor, if you know what I mean. Look, I get told every day about how different entities are trying to possess me and take over my body and kill me and enslave other people, and psychopaths that have created banking schemes and vaccine schedules and fluoride in the water and the chemtrails in the sky and so on and so forth, and the Fukushima radiation contaminating all the local fish that we eat. And so, it's endless, okay? It's frickin' endless. Every single day I'm being told about a new way that which I'm going to be in which I'm going to die and be exterminated. And the only thing that any of these things that are killing me and exterminating me have in common is that I'm alive when I hear about them. And it's an infuriating existence. And so, if you can find some levity, you know, like I think Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator said it best, your levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear of death. And I believe this is an important lesson for all people, is that, you know, the most important lesson I've actually ever been taught by anybody is by the editor of this magazine called Natural Medicine, the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine. And what the editor, Catherine Smith, who wrote the Cancer Prevention Handbook here in New Zealand, she said to me, you know, Vinny, you can't take yourself too seriously. And you can't take what other people say about you personally. And I was like, wow, that's some really short, concise, and really profound advice.
It definitely is.
George Norrie, I asked him a question. You know how George Norrie never gets into angry fits of rage? He's never upset. He never insults anybody. Have you noticed that?
I don't think I ever heard him insult anybody.
You know, he's totally freaking just cool like that. You know, he never gets on anybody's bad list for too long because he just really doesn't do anything bad to anybody. He's retained, despite being the second most popular radio show host in America with 29 to 35 million listeners a night, retains this very down-to-earth, kind quality about him, who can kind of get along with anybody. And I asked him, how do you do that? How do you get to such a level as you have done based upon the enormous amount of work under your belt, in some cases doing 8 hours of radio today for per day for 6 months while he was hosting for Art Bell and also hosting a show in St. Louis. How does he get like that and still retain that, you know, approachability factor? And he says, you have to talk to the people. Everywhere I go, everything that I'm doing is about just talking to the people. If you want to stay in touch with them, if you don't want to say that you're so much better than everybody else and therefore stop showing them any respect, if you don't want to turn into that very monster that you got into this business to slay, you've got to consistently talk to and listen to the people. And this is something that I aspire to be, somebody like George Norrie, who is that accepting, that capable, and also that so much in control of his own voice and force of verb, is he that he can retain a gargantuan listenership and have enormous amounts of influence, whilst at the same time putting out into, for lack of a better term, a virtually mainstream audience, such obscenely, ridiculously underground whistleblower alien slash crazy as stuff that would otherwise really not get out there.
Sounds like my show.
Yeah. And this is the situation as radio show hosts that I believe we should attempt to emulate those people who have done far considerably more than us and better than us. Not only try and emulate that in order to learn from it so that we can be the best radio show host and or person or whatever the hell your game is. If you're hanging around with people who are lesser than you, you're not going to learn anything off them, are you? They're all going to learn off you. So right. If you start seeking out people who are better than you at everything, and that's every single one of my friends and colleagues that I still maintain in contact with, the reason why I'm still in contact with them is because I believe they're better at me than something. And I don't want to be around people who are just, well, frankly, totally beneath me, you know, who have no value to contribute whatsoever. There's a lot of these people, negative, backstabbing, energy vampire, you know, borderline our contact entity type stuff. You know, that kind of stuff just doesn't jive with me, man.
Full of a lot of people like that.
Well, it's because it's one of the power centers. Okay, right. The reason talk radio exists and is so popular is because it's incredibly effective. Simply listening to the sounds of your voice or my voice, words have so much power. And having the ability to shove so many words into an hour bears a responsibility so that your community becomes sweet rather than sour.
Very true. Words are very powerful, and That's one thing I myself, when I'm conducting an interview, usually I let the person I'm interviewing speak 95% of the time.
Yeah. Occasionally I spill over that 5%. And occasionally, in fact, there was this one time when we had on Patty Greer, I think. She was a lady who goes around lying in UFO crop circle. Very interesting woman. And I think Sarah comes in with a piece of paper, you know, she just rips something off an envelope that we got from the bank or something and just quickly doodled it in pen and just, you know, opens the door, comes in here and slams it down on my desk. Let your fucking guest speak. got your own in-studio producer here, bro. The missus, she'll keep me on point. You know, it's funny when stuff like that happens. And what's also strange is that there's this dude named Kim.com. I don't know if you've heard about this, brother. So see, this is one of the interesting things about New Zealand that a lot of Americans don't get. In fact, Americans in general, I think like 1 in 7 has a passport or can locate America on the world map. I forget which. So that. Yeah. Yeah, the geography in the American public is somewhat fuzzy. And this is a result of the many dumbing down principles that the United States government has been operating on for some frickin' time. and they're incredibly effective. But anyway, Kim.com comes from Germany. He's the guy of megaupload.com, okay? You can watch movies on there, things like that. People can upload files that are gargantuan onto it. And in fact, what was happening is a whole bunch of really big mainstream bands, including the Black Eyed Peas, were going to sign with Mega Upload so that instead of selling CDs into a record company and things like that, where you get a 1%, if you're lucky, cut of all the other BS crap that these scum load onto this. You know, the music industry, the music business is not about the music anymore.
It's about
business.
Yeah.
And what Kim.com was doing is he was giving these people like a 65% share or more. He threatened to undermine the entire movie industry and the entire music industry by being an entrepreneurial genius. So naturally, the John Key, Prime Minister of New Zealand, who used to work for the Federal Reserve Bank in New York for 2 years as the head of European bond and derivatives, as Merrill Lynch's representative, has shares in Bank of America. See what I'm saying here?
Right.
32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite.
Hmm.
Uh-huh. He comes in and he goes to Hollywood to meet all these studio execs. He comes back after that weekend away, and suddenly Kim.com has a knock at his door. It's a police officer. And the police officer's just checking in on him and then seeing how things are. And he's like, oh, come in, you know. This is my house. Shows him everything. And the next day, the very next day, 70 police, dogs, helicopters, assault rifles, black clad gear, the whole works, descend on his mansion. Take him away. There's a 70 page warrant that they use for entry. 70 pages of
70
fraudulent
pages long.
Okay, if you're looking at a warrant, you'd be lucky if there's one page.
Yeah.
1.5 pages for a very, very horrific criminal. 70 pages? These are all allegations. All of them lies. Fraud, mismanagement, so on and so forth. You know, I don't know the full details. But it's bad. Very bad. Bad enough that no judge would be able to look at the 70-page warrant and go, okay, I'm not going to issue this warrant because there's just not enough evidence. There's just too much evidence to look over. So surely it must, you know, just give him a warrant anyway. And it turns out John Key was even surveilling Kim.com before this raid even happened. All right? The guy's barking for the wrong side. They confiscate his money, freeze his bank accounts, steal his assets. the whole thing. Okay, we're talking about a multi-millionaire. And they hold him without justification, saying he's a flight risk. He's not a flight risk. You froze all his money.
Can't go anywhere anyways.
You know, it's just a huge frickin' mess. And now what the government's doing is they're pushing through this this legislation called the GCSB bill. Now, GCSB is a government scumbaggery surveillance pieces of Shiite Muslim department, I believe is what the anagram is. And what they're going to do is do precisely what the NSA wants them to do. The NSA, which in Mexico is pronounced the NSA, it has offices in the GCSB building in New Zealand's capital, Wellington. It's because they're the guys running the show. You know about the New World Order, right? You know about these global surveillance system. You know, word up. And here we go, implementing exactly what the NSA wants, to spy on all New Zealanders, no warrants, thing, anything. And of course, they'll be the only ones who have access to this, and they already have a similar system in England, which is commonly known as the blackmail network of surveillance, okay? CIA did it back in the 60s and 70s and things like that, when foreign dignitaries and what have you were visiting New York to go to a UN meeting or something of that nature. They would have safe houses with two-way mirrors and cameras and microphones all hooked up, and they'd have their mind-controlled sex slaves and things like that seduce these people and wind up doing very naughty things with them indeed, and ingesting substances and what have you, so that they could record everything that they were doing and then use it for political blackmail.
Blackmail, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Easiest way to control somebody is through sex.
Yeah. That's why a woman can make men fall in love with them, but men can't make women fall in love with them. That's because women control the sex. Or at least in an ideal world they should be. And this is the this is the unfortunate element of rape and scumbaggery that we find ourselves in our day-to-day life, isn't it? You know? There's a hell of a lot of abuse going down in this entire society. People like Kim.com are just an expression of this entirety of this syndrome. We've got a one-world government, one-world surveillance system. Just that alone means there's no freedom for anybody to speak out against any form of scumbaggery that goes in conflict with what the alleged people's elected government says. Which means you have no rights. You have no free speech. You got nothing. You won't even be able to raise your kids the way you want. You won't even be able to live where you want.
Yeah, you hardly have that right here now. They're taking that pretty much away, raising your kids.
Yeah. Raising kids has become very expensive.
How much under surveillance is the average person there? As in cameras here and there, and
they're starting to ramp them up. They're only just starting to install those red light cameras, which in the US are unconstitutional. New Zealand doesn't even have a constitution. You got to love that. It's just the frog in the boiling pot, sense of the word, you know, it's just ramping up, getting worse and worse and worse every single day. Our traffic officers aren't even sworn officers, bro. You know that?
They're not even peace officers?
They're not even peace officers. They're just traffic cops, which have about as much authority over you as any average security guard. The problem is they're covered in these things called uniforms that say police on them, so you assume that they actually have the right to arrest you, so you're afraid of them, so that they can start manipulating you stuff and accepting things and intimidate you into taking their frickin' fraudulent parking tickets!
God.
And then they had a big controversy and said, oh my God, no, we've actually, these are unsworn officers, and people need to know that. Yeah.
Unsworn?
Yeah,
that means they're not there to uphold anything.
Yeah, I mean, but ironically, when they're handing out traffic tickets, they do get sworn at. And there's a great article in the paper that says we need to be able to distinguish these sworn from unsworn cops. Now, the sworn officers wear blue. So they say, okay, well, we need to make these unsworn officers less intimidating and less authoritative. So let's give them black uniforms.
Man.
And I
got to remember that sworn at one now. Yeah. That one's got me. I was choking her just a second ago over that one.
Right, my bad. And what else is happening now? The police did 2 years, okay? There's a two-year investigation on getting different kinds of pants for the police force, all right? Like, currently, they all have to be dry cleaned. You know, they're that kind of pants. And so they managed to get some new sort of semi-polyester cotton pants that they could machine wash. And it took them 2 years to figure out what kind of pants would be appropriate. Now, that is how hard the police service in New Zealand really works. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how long it takes you to figure out what kind of pants you want to put on in the morning, but 2 years might be a bit long, you know.
Well, the police officers here wear a uniform, and they have to go to a uniform supply shop to get them.
You know, I think we need to change the uniform into a unitard because that means that the person wearing the uniform should be seen as a retard, hence a unitard.
Yeah, well, I know here they don't take people who score real, real high on the test because they're the ones that will question the authority, will question their orders.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't take that top A student. They'd rather have that C or D student because they're more apt to take orders.
Imagine for a moment that you live in a country, the United States, and every single thing that seems to be, you know, concurrent with the methodology of scumbaggery is precisely copied and mirrored here in New Zealand. You got tyrannical cops, right, that are like riped up on steroids and they got IQ limits that are lower so that you'll only really have rudimentary morons sitting out there so that they don't go nuts when they're sitting in cars and wondering about their life while they're pulling over people that are on food stamps and stuff like that, a $700 fine for riding around in a car, which is their only transport with their three kids that they can't feed now because they're going to pay a $700 fine that you just gave them.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense.
Have you got drug enforcement officers that basically just take the drugs and then sell them to the gangs and then use the gangs to commit hits on political activists that are exposing their corruption and so on and so forth? Yeah, we got that going. Have you got huge, massive pedophile rings and things of that nature that masquerade under three or four letters that basically are just there to steal children, sell them into the sex trade, and rape them, whilst at the same time maintaining an image that what they're there to do is protect them? Yeah, we got that too. You got massive surveillance states apparatus going on where they surveil every single thing that you do, every phone call you make, every text message you send, every email, every Skype call, so on and so forth is all plugged into some god-awful central database that's synced up to satellites and radio and TV and so on and so forth so that they monitor and control and record every single damn thing that is going on. So if anybody comes too close to the truth, they get bumped off, usually by some kind of accidental death or maybe the suicide of themselves. Yeah, we got that too. You got some kind of, banker-funded puppet leading your country and telling everybody that he's really anti-war when he just creates more wars and winds up, instead of getting rid of the lobbyists, he appoints a heck of a lot more lobbyists. Have you got... It could go on for a long, long time. It's the same. That's what Americans have got to realize, is that you're not alone in this fight against the New World Order. And I see a lot of Americans thinking this way because they don't know the world. And there's very few people like me that actually know the local situation and can really relay that to an American audience. And that's really, really sad because there are people in this country who are very, very well up with the play with what's going on in America, and it's the very reason why we've joined this movement in the first place, is because we want to help, We want to expose and destroy the New World Order and restore the Republic, too.
Amen.
Now, Janice.
We've been joined by the host, and I'll just be quiet and sit back here.
Hey, I'm so sorry, you guys. I had quite a day with a friend of mine getting in a serious car accident, and my whole day got totally turned around.
Let me tell you something.
I'm so sorry.
you arrived and came on air at 12:33.
Is that good?
Oh, 33 is an interesting number for me.
Yeah? And it's happening on 8-8. It's 8:33 here. Please, my apologies, my very, very strong apologies. How far have you gotten into the show? Have you explained who you are and what you're doing, Vinny?
To a large degree, yeah. And I was still in the middle of it.
Don't let me stop. Please keep going.
Wanted to welcome you to the show and ask you how your day was, and you've told us that, and we've corroborated the 33 factor. In fact, every time I see the number 33 now on my web browsers or on films, or if I see Masonic symbolism and so on and so forth, I take little screenshots or do little audio recordings on them. Got a couple from Superman the other day, the new Superman movie, Man of Steel, and guess how long he'd been living on Earth before people started to wonder who he was and came out as Superman. That's right, 33 years.
Sounds like Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Didn't they say he lived 33 years before he was killed?
Oh, yeah. The number 33 is remarkably important. There's some kind of like distance or circumference of the sun, or like there's 33 times quadrat whatever of the Earth's width is like the sun's width or something like that. You know, there's all bunches of crazy little coincidences and synchronicities that go on with that thing.
What does it mean to you?
Sorry, what?
What does it mean to you when you see it? What does it mean for you?
It means the 33rd degree of Freemasonry and scumbaggery, and the universe trying to remind me of the importance of my work here, exposing said Freemasonry and scumbaggery.
You go, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're exposing it through your radio show?
Well, I'm trying to.
Yeah, I think you're doing a great job. Are there other things that you're doing to expose...
scumbaggery?
The dark side?
Oh, the dark side. Well, you know, Darth Vader tried to get me to come over to the dark side once, and I didn't, you know, because you got these choices in life. You can either sit back and go, all right, you know, stuff's really painful, and you go through these traumas, like getting busted by the cops, which completely shatters your perspective of reality, and you suddenly find out that the cops aren't nice, the politicians aren't honest, the employers you have don't actually give a frack about your future, and all the education system only further serves to dumb you down. It doesn't teach you critical thinking at all. It just teaches you to be critical of people that can actually still think, despite all being educated. And your entire reality collapses apart, and you spend the rest of your life, provided nobody, you know, provides some expertise or an extraordinary wisdom in order to help you come to terms with all this BS that you've been through and get over it so that you can actually live a long, healthy, and productive and otherwise non-scumbaggery life. You know, sometimes you just gotta give yourself a few projects, you know. It's like, what's my problem? You know what my problem is? I'm a decent man. And that's it. In an indecent time. And this is something that I think we've all gotta really, come to grips with, is that, when you're honest and you're open and you're friendly and you're generous, and people sometimes think that that's a bad thing. They have an aversion to this kind of behavior because they've been burned so many times before of people who took advantage of your honesty, people who went and told on you to authorities or something like that because you were so open and honest about these things that you do in your life. The employer who threatens to fire you because you're honest with them and you say, look, I'm not getting paid enough. I can't pay my bills on this, and then accuses you of having them over trying to have them over a barrel and so on and so forth. You know, these kind of things have changed me into what I believe I was meant to be. Somebody who seeks out truth tellers, who are good, decent people like me, who don't want to see the dominance of the psychopathic mentality spread out all over society, like scum covering a pond, choking out all life.
That's exactly
and all light.
That's really well said. It's pure evil, you know, and those of us who have a capacity still for love, you know, and for kindness and for authenticity and a concern for all of life, we are considered weird, strange, amoral, you know, as if we're a huge threat to the satanic infested reality that we live in. And it is satanically infested. And this is why there's so much suffering and so much deprivation and degradation of life, you know, because evil has gotten the upper hand for a while.
Yeah, well, and
it
tries to tell people that this evil's here to protect you. It's here to hold your hand and protect you from cradle to grave. And people don't realize that it's the hand you hold that is the hand that holds you down. It deprives you of your ability to create your own reality by having somebody else protect you from it. Okay? That's the problem that we have here, is we've become weak. We've become dependent. These are not things that we are doing that are evil, but that we are doing them because evil things are being done to us. We become afraid and respectful of authority. We expect whenever some problem happens, like you get bullied at school, instead of taking things into your own hands and sabotaging that bully so that they stop bullying you and solving the problem yourself, you're told to instead go get an authority figure who barely even punishes the bully. And in fact, in all likelihood, you'll be punished yourself. There was even an article that came out in an American newspaper where a boy was had a knife out, was about to stab another boy, and then another boy who was sitting there watching this got involved, got the knife off the kid, and okay, saved that boy's life.
Wow.
And then he got suspended from school for, quote, violent behavior.
Oh my God.
Defending yourself. As soon as that becomes not allowed, that's when you know that we're really fracked.
Well, that's happening big time in the United States, you know, with our government making a plan to take people's guns. People who have, who are, I guess, generally peaceful, they're not the ones who are criminals. It's the people in government who are criminals. And the people who work for the people in government, who are the, you know, psychopathic murderers running around the globe destroying other people's property and destroying other people's children and poisoning the land. The U.S. government is so dark at this point. There is no goodness that I can fathom right now within it. And I just want to back up, Vinny, to say something else about how they're preventing us from creating reality, because I think it's a very important point. One of the things that they do is they blast images at us all the time, and they get us to focus our attention on those images. And the images are often demonic. You see satanic rituals happening, for example, on...
We just lost him.
Oh, really? Well, let me finish my point. Hopefully, can you get him back?
I'll try.
All right. So the point being, we have satanic rituals happening at the Super Bowl, you know, at the Olympics, the opening ceremony of the Olympics, and every time our attention is on these demonic images or on these satanic rituals, we are contributing to that kind of evil emerging in our world, because our power is immense in terms of creating reality. And our power is often connected to images. What are you doing over there, Vinny? You creating a video as we talk?
Yes, I am. It's kind of how I do things. The thing is, we had a talk today with James Bartley. We were talking about gin and demonic possession, serial killers, psychopaths, aliens, abductions, that kind of thing, MK Ultra mind control programs. And what was interesting is he was saying that even if the problems that we were having on our radio show today were natural problems, you know, there are such enormous amounts of technical issues that take place when we talk about these things that we do. And that's why I always have like three backups. So right now I've got my webcam and Skype being recorded, as well as your webcam when you turn it on. And I have a tripod with a HD camera behind the computer screen, so it captures me and the LCD display screen that I have behind me with your video and the network, as well as in the other room I have a computer recording the live stream directly off freedomslips.com. So I have a backup of a backup of a backup. That way, if there's any video malfunctions or any audio malfunctions, I have two backups for those particular instances. And it happens quite often. You've got to be prepared, because this happens to a lot of people who come out and do lectures, allegedly, about these kind of topics, where there'll be unexplained camera malfunctions, and they'll have done this whole presentation, and it'll just be like all for nothing. That kind of thing can be a real pain, and that's why you've got to be prepared. You've got to be techno savvy in this game, and keep things backed up by yourself, because very few radio show hosts record their own show themselves and publish their own archives themselves directly after the radio show finishes, and that's what I do. And I've been doing it for years. I haven't need anybody else's archives at all.
I wish I knew how to turn a conversation like this into a video. I'm limited that way. Like, I even if I had the technology, I wouldn't know how to use it. Like, somebody has to teach me.
I can teach somebody to do everything that I do in a day, and have them be able to remember it easily enough to keep continuously doing it. And
going to be my teacher.
well, this is what I hope to be able to do one day soon, is actually do sort of Vinnie Eastwood tutorials. The difficulty is I'm using a Mac, and Macs have been made to be workhorses, and there are certain programs for Mac that you can't get on say a PC.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm sure there are equivalent programs. It's just, if I was showing people how to do it, I'd be showing them how to do it with a Mac-based thing, and maybe I would want to learn how to do all of these things that I do on a PC as well, so I can show people how to do that, because I've done what very few people in this world have ever done. I've become a one-man media mogul facility.
Yeah.
So people have come over here and they've needed documentaries made, and I'll cut together a documentary of them in full quality with decent cutting of the slides and things of that nature in a night. It normally takes people 18 months.
Wow.
Well, 12 months if they're really Russian. Okay, this is the skill and talent that I have. I once cut together three full documentary kind of presentations in 3 days. Three in 3 days.
Wow.
Over one of them was 3 hours long, one of them was 90 minutes, and the other one was 2 hours. And getting them down to an edited fashion where the sound quality is good, all the slides of these presentations and everything is cut in just so, with multiple camera angles inserted into it as well, to do three documentaries like that in 3 nights. Cannot be done, right? That's what a lot of people would say. Can't be done. I did it.
I guess.
Okay.
Are you self-taught? You taught yourself how to do all this stuff, or somebody?
Yeah. Yeah. I always wanted to be a filmmaker, and I didn't start being a filmmaker until I listened to Alex Jones, really, and decided that I couldn't just sit around just listening to somebody else give me the news, not when my country has no equivalent to that. Has nobody out there supporting the activists, you know? For the Fluoride Action Network New Zealand, I've done a number of videos. If you go to my YouTube channel, and you can search pretty much any topic, and there will be substantial amount of coverage on virtually any topic you can think of. The videos are tags, you know, whatever you want. Fluoride, aliens. There's no real holds barred. I'm not afraid to talk about certain things. I don't prefer to talk about certain other things. I just like to listen to everything and everybody, because everybody's got a story, and we're all being fracked in some way or the other by the New World Order. So if you stop covering some things because you prefer to cover other things because you think people are crazy, will think that you're crazy because you cover these strange and weird and wacky, wonderful things, then those people are actually the crazy ones. Those people are the mind-controlled ones. You know? Put your hands up if you don't think at any point you've been subjected to mind control techniques. All of those people that just raised their hand right there are the ones that are obviously under mind control still.
Exactly right. You know, I had somebody on my show Sunday, a beautiful couple, Bonnie and John Mitchell. I recommend you interview them, Vinny, on your show, because they were talking about sigil magic through television and mnemonic mind control, meaning when you watch TV, especially sports, they show these circles all the time, sometimes with numbers where they count you up and count you down to bring you deep into the trance, and the numbers pop out the middle of the circle and then pop back in. So these are techniques that are being used, that these satanic families use on their own children to put them in deep states of altered reality in order to create alters and deep trauma-based mind control. But we're all being, anybody that watches television is subjected not only to the mnemonic circles constantly, you know, as you're watching TV, these little circles in the corner or the big circles on the screen, but also there's sigil magic where they pump these symbols at you, and then demonic energies come through the symbols. So sometimes they're on our food. Many times they're on the television screen.
Well, and all of these symbols have power in their own resonance field. You know, there's a work of this Japanese dude who put like words and things on water, like love, and came out with these really beautiful geometric ice crystals. And he came out like with fear, and it comes out with these really ugly, blotchy, scary-looking ice crystals. So water really holds all that frequency field just in words and symbols. And so if you've got those words and symbols flashing on a screen in front of you, your subconscious picks it up, and because you're like 70% water, it actually changes you.
Yes.
And when I watch films, I'm not entertaining myself. When I watch news, I'm not listening to the news. Okay? When I'm doing these things, I'm analyzing enemy communications.
Right on.
Okay?
Yes.
I take screenshots of these things that I see. I see a Masonic floor, black and white tiles, screenshot, name of the film, go on to the next thing. Ooh, do I see a pyramid all-seeing eye in the background in that picture there behind the guy? Screenshot. Goes in the. I've got a whole folder now of screenshots from mainstream US films loaded with Masonic symbolism. Now, Freda X from The Middle Chamber has been in, I think, 9 different occult orders. He has achieved really great heights in the circles, to the point where a lot of scumbags, you know, lower level Masons and so on and so forth, have to be subservient to him. He's been down into these old libraries that nobody's been into, nobody's looked at these books for like 150, 200 years. These old, musty tomes, like you're in a Raiders of the Lost Ark kind of movie. He's actually been down there in these places and looked at this old, dark, occulted mysticism that these people and all of their secret societies were based upon. And what he told me is that the reason why Hollywood is so saturated with this symbolism is because it's absolutely 100% a deliberate effort by the secret societies to prepare people subliminally for a Masonic revolution, for a new world order, one where they'll come to worship these sigils that they previously never even noticed that they existed. You know?
No, I don't stress that a Masonic reality is a Luciferian reality.
Yeah.
People need to get this. It's a demonic energy that we are working, that is working against us. Because I'm not working with it, okay? But it's working against us, and it's got most of the population in its grips. So the more of us that are talking about it, the better. And I wonder, Vinny, do you write books? Because putting all those images that you've gathered in a book, to leave that for future generations, you know, because we need to conquer. And one way to make sure this never happens again is to keep a record of how they...
Well, this is why everything that I say on radio and everything that I do on video is recorded, put it on a hard drive somewhere, as well as uploaded in several different places online where people can get at it. Okay, and what I want to do is make a movie, a documentary of this, because you know what it reminds me of is... Loose Change. Hidden Empires. Frack. I forget which documentary it was that Jason Burmis made.
I want to give you a heads up. We're going to have to go to break in a minute. So just preface anything you're going to say with that in mind, okay? Go ahead.
Okay. Preface everything you're going to say with the 1 minute to spare. Okay. essentially. When the word New World Order is repeated to you 1,000 times, okay, repeated to you 1,000 times, all of these different clips and things like that you got in there, boom, suddenly it's reality to you. I'm going to make a documentary where I put 1,000 pieces of Masonic imagery in front of your eyes inside of an hour and a half that you will be unbelievably convinced that it is deliberate, that they are putting this Masonic symbolism in every single movie you've probably ever seen. And we're going to talk about more of that after the break.
What's that? That was really well done. So I really think you should do it, because in addition to YouTube, where else do you post your videos?
They go up on the funnyeastwoodshow.com.
And we are back. Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Birth of a New Earth. My name is Janice Barcello. I am here with Vinny Eastwood. And I have a question for you, Vinny, because I've been so tuned in to what's going on at Fukushima. Isn't New Zealand pretty close to Japan?
Not pretty close at all. No. I mean, it's about as far away, I guess, as the United States is from it.
So
maybe even further.
You don't have any... Because when I look on a map, it looks to me like Australia's pretty close to New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, close to Japan... I don't know exactly where New Zealand is, so that's why I was asking. Do you worry about that at all, where you are, or no?
Look at it this way: how can you worry about something that you cannot escape and is already surrounding you, contaminating everything you will ever touch, ever breathe, ever eat?
I know I'm worried about it, because I'll tell you, I was.
You're in the Northern Hemisphere, love. Don't worry about me.
Yeah.
Worry about yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's where all the airborne stuff is going. We're just getting the residual effect from the oceans. But they were dumping contaminated water into the sea since day one of Fukushima. And when I first saw the reports of the radiation spikes that were coming off of San Francisco and the California coastline, the amount of births, terminations and so on and so forth that happened on immediately after Fukushima, the reports coming out of the planes coming from Japan setting off radiation alarms, air crews getting sick, this kind of thing. You see these satellite images of the trade winds blowing all those plutonium particles and things of that nature all around the Northern Hemisphere. And it just occurs to me the Northern Hemisphere is wiped out. Okay, like if you want to survive for any particular decent period of time without subjecting yourself to the many different diseases associated with radiation sickness, you know, you don't want to be in the Northern Hemisphere, frankly.
I agree. I mean, I'm giving serious thought to actually moving to the Southern Hemisphere for that very reason. I was in Hawaii when Fukushima happened, and 9 months later I was diagnosed with a pretty serious thyroid condition, so I know that my health has been affected. It was affected. I was only there for 2 months, you know, and then I left and came to New York, but in that 2 months' time I was obviously saturated with radiation, and it's affected my health. So I know also, like, the seals in Alaska were washing up with radiation poisoning. The birth defect rate in the state of Washington, which is on the West Coast, has gone up 800%. The United States government has raised the acceptable levels of radiation in our food by 400%. So they're allowing us to eat contaminated food. They're allowing contaminated food to be sold, and are even importing beef from Japan. So there's some real attempt, I think, to kill us, for lack of a better way to say it, to genetically mutate us.
Says David Icke says, if you want to avoid disasters like what happened at Fukushima, just don't buy your security cameras from Israeli nuclear weapons manufacturers. did you hear about that?
Tell me about the connection there. No, I don't know about that.
Well, I think a while before the Fukushima blast happened, they ordered in these new cameras. Now, you know how big a camera normally is, even the big CCTV cameras, you know, like this big or whatever, you know, they're not that big. And so they're getting these ones that are like a couple of, like nearly a metric ton. A couple of them. And then during the Fukushima thing, we see these big mushroom cloud type booms coming off of this thing. The place was blown up big time. They were so stupid that they stored spent plutonium fuel rods. Plutonium, by the way, named after Pluto, the Greek god of the underworld. Well, sorry, Roman god of the underworld.
Yeah.
Because it's that frickin' deadly. Microgram can kill practically anything. It's ridiculously explosive. So they store about 40 years of these spent fuel rods on top of the reactors. So when they blew up into the air with nuclear force, there ain't nothing in this world that isn't going to be affected by it.
It's overwhelming to me, you know, and I don't know what it's going to take for us to be able to neutralize. I do believe we can neutralize it with consciousness, but that we're so genetically altered that we don't have our resources about us or our potential, you know, in full operation. That would allow us to successfully neutralize it. So it's been really, really up in my mind about what's happening at Fukushima, and more information keeps coming out about what's still going on there, you know. So I just thought I'd ask you, but I guess if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, you guys don't worry about it too much.
No, I'm plenty worried about it. I haven't had kids yet, and it's, you know, I kind of makes me remember my physical education teacher when I was in Waiheke High School, and she didn't have any kids. She just had a couple of corgis, like the Queen does, because her husband went to Vietnam and got sprayed with Agent Orange, and they said they didn't want to risk having a horrifically deformed child, you know. I don't know why that comes to mind when I think about Fukushima and the amount of radiation that's been smeared all over my testicle. But
uranium is radioactive, you know. That's also causing deformities. And Agent Orange has got to be connected to all of this, too, because Monsanto is, you know, the maker of so much good stuff.
Okay, well let me just lay down a scenario. This is the world, okay.
Yeah.
I had a comment made the other day about ignorance and how they like to put their ignorance on display for people, because that way people in our community will actually send you videos, links, articles, etc., for which you can relieve yourself of your ignorance through a little bit of further study. And that's why he likes to chat with people like me and on my Facebook, right? And I said to him, well, you can still retain your ignorance whilst being mostly correct, by making two very simple assumptions. If it comes from an official official source, whatever it's saying that it's there to do, whatever it's saying that its intentions are, they are most likely the direct opposite.
That's right. They're lying.
All right. So that's assumption number one.
Uh-huh.
Assumption number two. Assume that anything you cannot make at home by yourself is a soft-kill bioweapon.
Soft kill, maybe. Direct kill, you know, when you look at radiation or vaccines, too. I mean, babies are dying in droves from the vaccines. These are biological weapons, without a doubt. And
okay, so in a world surrounded by liars that ply you with biological weapons constantly, what options have you got left? You think that not waking up, not resisting, not fighting back, not speaking up, is somehow going to improve your quality of life or sustain it for longer? You have got to get a grip.
You know, part of the programming also is a death wish. You know, it's like slow suicide that most people are participating.
Slowicide.
Huh?
Slowicide.
Slowicide, that's a good way to say it.
The slower side of suicide.
Yeah.
Which goes well with the lighter side of genocide.
But that's part of the mind control programming. And frankly, you know, we can't blame people for wanting to check out of this reality. But the thing is, and I'm almost convinced of this, that death does not guarantee an escape from the satanic matrix. In fact, if you do not consciously die, let's say you end up in a hospital and you die there, the chances of your soul being harnessed and you getting recycled into the satanic matrix is quite high, because hospitals are part of the satanic matrix. They are part of the infestation. And I had somebody on my show, Dr. Byrne, I don't know if you heard it, Vinny, but he was talking about organ donation and how every time they harvest people's organs, that person has to be alive.
Mm.
They do not harvest organs from cadavers.
I know that from personal experience, because I once donated an organ to the local church.
I'm talking about bodily organs.
Oh, of course you are.
Okay. And what they do is they paralyze people while they're getting ready to cleave their chest in two. There's no anesthesia, but the people are being murdered as they're being cleaved and their hearts being retrieved. And they're experiencing very high levels of cortisol and stress naturally, because they're feeling the evil that's being perpetrated against them in on top of the pain.
Well, so are you talking about specifically when somebody's in the hospital and they're bleeding internally and they're going to die anyway, and
no,
they have a yes donor card?
I'm not talking about them going to die anyway. I'm talking about a system that makes up diagnosis like brain death.
No, but you said that they didn't have any anesthetic when they're taking their organs and stuff.
I'm telling you that they don't give anesthesia even to infants when they're going to cut off their body parts.
Oh, yeah.
They're deliberately torturing people.
Oh, they love it. I mean, that's what we're... You know the word bedlam? You ever heard the word bedlam?
I know the word bedlam. I hope you're getting what I'm saying here.
Yeah, well
they're harnessing souls. Yeah. They're standing at the gates as babies are entering this dimension and torturing them. And they're standing at the gates as people are leaving. They're actually committing murder in hospitals and harvesting organs, and probably those organs are being consumed in satanic rituals. So we had better get hip to what's going on.
Well, I noticed that you can't stop talking about it. Almost every comment since you arrived on the radio show has been trying to back reference into the satanic agenda, and I believe it does bear looking upon, because if Satanism truly exists, like real Satanism, the scary stuff that you all read about in the storybooks and what have you, if that's real, then that means true kind of warriors for God exist too, to
yes.
combat them. The universe wouldn't just spit out some kind of unstoppable force without an immovable object as well, would it?
Well, that's a really good point, Vinny.
And that's what people have got to get really, really wise to. Not only that there's some bad scumbaggery, evil kind of, like, had you spent a week speaking with people that have been part of satanic ritual sacrifice, who had been part of satanic ritual sexual abuse, that had been part of satanic torture and forced drugging, had you thought for any more than a second collectively about what kind of damage has been done to the human race from cradle to grave, you would break down in tears and you say, please God, let it not be true. But it is true.
True.
And the onus, now that you know that information, I've just obligated you by telling you the truth. If you don't take up the mantle and fight against this form of eclectic scumbaggery, as I have, then you are abdicating your personal responsibility to the safety of the human race. God help you.
Entire and all of life, not just the human race. This, you know, these people are very pleased when they can destroy what the Creator created. That includes humans, but is not limited to humans. It expands to all of life.
Mm.
And I was... posted an article on my blog yesterday about the connections between Sandy Hook and the Church of Satan. Do you know the Sandy Hook event that took place here in the United States?
Did you know that there was a movie made in 2001 called The Sandy Hook Lingerie Massacre?
Yes, I have it on my blog. I actually posted about that. If they're always telling us, you know, even in the Batman movie, okay, they pointed on a map to Sandy Hook.
Mm.
Did you see that?
I watched that Batman movie last night, but it wasn't a terribly high quality version, so I couldn't see quite Sandy Hook on the map there. But that was the third one. And if you're going to watch Batman, watch the second in the Christopher Nolan Dark Knight trilogy called The Dark Knight, the one with the Joker in it. And there are a lot of messages in there for truthers, I think. That movie really, really spoke to me. Because the Dark Knight is a symbol. He's not a man, he's a symbol. And what does this symbol mean? This symbol means you can live outside what society deems as normal. This symbol means that you can operate outside the controls of the current system so that you can inflict justice upon the wicked to protect the innocent, while maintaining your anonymity so that the people you love don't get retribution by the people you hate. That's what the Dark Knight actually truly stands for. And a lot of people, I'm not sure if they really get this whole idea of the caped crusader. Because also that anonymity, that lack of responsibility in the public face, grants you to do certain things. use deception, fear. It allows you to make a choice that nobody else can make, even though people will hate you for it, so long as you believe that they actually really need it, you know? And it reminds me of many times that I've been out in protests and talked about the New World Order through the megaphone, and had people come up to me and tell me to stop talking about that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, don't say that.
Even if half the crowd hates me and starts to think that I'm crazy, even if 90% of them, even if 100% of the crowd was just booing me or whatever, I'd still be speaking the truth, regardless of whether or not they wanted to hear it. Because unfortunately, people think that they can live a rich, full, and comfortable life by avoiding all forms of suffering, mental, spiritual, and physical. And they avoid getting themselves into situations that make them uncomfortable. Those are the situations where we should actually be deliberately putting ourselves in from time to time to ensure that we don't grow weak, to ensure that we don't stop growing as people. If you've had the same belief for more than 10 to 20 years or so on and so forth, and you ain't making any progress in your life as a result of that belief, it's time to change your belief structure.
Yeah, there's something.
It's time to change it up.
Cognitive dissonance, too. You know, when people have been watching TV all the time, you know, they're kind of glued, reading newspapers, glued into this false reality, you know, and then you come along and say, look, it's a satanic infested reality, or it's a Masonic reality, whatever, however we want to describe it. That doesn't gel in the minds of people who have not been able to break free of the mind control, you know? It's like they can't process that.
Look, it's because people are afraid to admit when they're wrong, okay? There's only three words you need in order to advance yourself and become a better human being and actually throw off all the chains of feeling ashamed that you've learned something for a change. These three words are, I was wrong. If you can't admit to yourself that you hadn't had it all figured out all along, then you certainly ain't going to figure out any more until you do. And that's what people are stuck on. That they're trying to make sense of the world, and unfortunately they find out that the world is a hell of a lot more complex than they ever thought possible. And so instead of thinking to themselves, okay, well, it's going to take a long time to figure this all out, but I'm going to try, I'm going to absorb some new information every single day by listening to the Vinnie Eastwood show or whoever, or Janice, the lovely Janice. And unless you're really willing to do that and actually put in the real work. I mean, look, how long have you been in high school? How long have you been in school? How long have you been in university? How long have you been employed by an establishment-type company? Okay? Every single year that you've been indoctrinated, you've got to spend almost an equal amount of time de-indoctrinating yourself. If you can be programmed, then it stands to reason you can be deprogrammed. And the problem is, it takes other people to program you, and it often takes yourself to deprogram yourself. That's the personal responsibility angle of it. You can't. What I really get frustrated with, Janice, is when people try to say, "I'm going to try and wake people up." What are you going to do, bro? Chuck a bucket of water on them and hope that gets them out of bed? It's not going to work, mate. Okay.
Well, that's what you're doing too with your megaphone, right? You're trying to shake things up, to snap people out of their trance because they're in hypnosis. You know, they're under a spell, quite literally.
Yeah.
We have to, that's why we post on Facebook, right? That's why we have these radio shows. That's why we're doing what we're doing, is to help people snap out of it.
I don't know.
That's why I do.
Well, maybe that's you, but that's not my objective. My objective isn't to wake people up. It's my belief that I can't actually wake people up. It takes about 7 people to say something to you before you wake up to something. Okay? I'm not trying to wake people up. I'm just trying to play my part so that 6 other people can play their parts, and eventually, maybe, this one person who I told this one thing this one time will some point down the road wake up all on their own. Nobody forced me with a gun to my head to watch 160 documentaries in a couple of months. right? Nobody forced me to do that. I make myself do that because I had the passion. I had the thirst for the truth.
Desire, yeah.
Once you get a taste for the truth, it's like a drug, you know. You get addicted to it. You stay up late nights doing it with friends, you know. This kind of thing. It destroys your family, the truth does. The truth can cost you your job, you know. The same kind of reactions that you would get from somebody who's a class A dope fiend is the precise kind of results you will get in your life if you start getting addicted to the truth and will not stand for lies anymore. Lies are like sobriety, and the truth is the intoxicant.
Did you lose a mainstream job or anything like that?
I quit mine. This magazine, Uncensored magazine, was edited by a guy named Jonathan Eisen. He wrote a great article for Rolling Stone about cannabis needing to be legalized, one of their most popular articles ever, as well as producing two really great stories about cannabis curing cancer and some other things for 60 Minutes, which are also incidentally the highest rated shows. And he's a friend of mine now, and he's living in New Zealand. He's been fired from every establishment job in the media you could ever imagine, because he pointed out that the CIA it was behind a lot of publishing of books back in the 70s when he was working for a local paper. And I come into work this one day, and I've had a bit of a psychopathic boss, you know.
Oh, really?
Kind of guy who'll call you up at 9 o'clock at night on a Friday while you're at your mate's place having a drink on the couch, calls you up, tells you, get up, get off the couch, find a pen, find a piece of paper, and write down the number of a client to call on Monday. Not an isolated instance either.
Wow.
You know? And it just really, that was the most traumatic working experience of my life, working for that scumbag.
How long did you work for him? To curse on this station, by the way.
Yeah.
You got to be careful with language.
Why? What did I say?
I don't know if scumbag is considered a curse or not. Maybe.
Scumbag?
Yeah.
If there's a pond, you've heard of pond scum, right?
Yes, indeed.
And you have a handbag, right?
Yeah.
Okay. A scumbag is when you have that scum from the pond in your handbag, and that's what I mean. Just a little description there, okay? A little image. A bag full of scum is what a scumbag is. And I like to use the term scumbaggery, which is
okay,
the actions,
so
motives, or portents.
My producer says it's not considered a curse word, so we're good.
Yeah,
because we get emails about cursing, you know?
Of course you get emails from cursing, because you're on Freedom Slips Radio, where the truth slips from the lips.
It does. I think there's a little bit more flexibility on Channel B, but we got to be careful. But I'm glad to know scumbag's not considered a curse word, so we can say it.
Yeah. And it's much better if it's done in kind of like a Brooklyn accent, like little scumbags.
Sorry to get distracted. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
I have no idea. You're taking me completely off base, you know? You know, these are the kind of things. I'm on a roll here, yo. I was on a roll. You twisted my roll like a Tootsie roll, like a turkey twistler.
God, I'm sorry, brother.
Well, let's talk about scumbaggery for a moment here. Because when I get elected as king of the world, there will only be two acts that I will pass into legislation. Of course, under urgency, by veto, an executive order, you know, just to maintain consistency, and everybody will be comfortable with the way the state of things normally are. Those two pieces of legislation will be the Scumbaggery Suppression Act, which will be an act to suppress all scumbaggery in society, so that anybody who's elected in any official position will get exposed, and their scumbaggery laid out and aired out, and they will be tried by a jury of their peers, and they will be accepted a reasonable punishment, as well as prohibition on them ever getting a job where they have any position of trust ever again. That would be the suppression of scumbaggery. But somebody actually had to be a proven, possessed, full-on psycho with no conscience, no morals. Oh, yeah. We don't want no scumbaggery. It's not good. And the other piece of legislation would be the Suppression of All Legislation Act. So that nobody can ever pass another stinking law again that takes away people's rights.
Wow. That's pretty brilliant. And my mind immediately, when you were talking about the psychopathic mentality with, you know, there's like no return from it, my mind goes to, oh my God, what's happened to these people that has turned them into psychopaths, you know, because I imagine...
Well, it's an infection. You can, if you stand around with psychopaths, you will actually become infected, and you can and will turn into a psychopath, provided you don't get out of that situation and bring yourself back to the heart and back to the love. There's some real dangerous stuff going down here, and people believe that psychopathy is infectious, and they've proven it is. Other people say that they are mind parasites, and they actually are biological organisms, and that they can replicate themselves and attach to you and turn you over to them. You go through a withdrawal phase kind of thing, like a proto-psychopath, and you start following these psychos around everywhere they go in some form of an entourage, because the psychopaths need an entourage. They need an audience. They need to be in direct contact with people. They love being admired, so they love being on TV, but if they were completely alone and there was nothing but a camera or anything like that, no camera people, nobody else to admire them, they'd be dead in a week. They feed off of all of the energy that we give them. They love our attention. And they love to hurt as well. They love pain. They love fear. And they use it against you so that they can attach to you, take you over, and make you just like them.
See, the thing is, I've known a few psychopaths. I've even dated... I think two of the men in my life were actually psychopaths. I didn't become a psychopath, obviously. And I also tend to think that they have been exposed to so much abuse and so much deprivation of love and bonding, and also, in extreme cases, you know, trauma-based mind control and torture.
All administered by psychopaths.
And
that's what they do. They get sadistic. They get sadistic, they hurt you, and then when they hurt you, they make you afraid, and then you start to open up to them. If you're not afraid, if you're full of love, warmth, light, forgiveness, they can't frickin' touch you. Not your soul, anyway. But they'll do things to you if you come up against them. They'll do things to you to try and change that. There's a lot of psychic attack, apparently, along people who recognize what it is that they're dealing with. These kind of very inhuman people who, in fact, I was just interviewing a guy today on the show. There was this young boy who became pen pals with a number of different psychopathic serial killers. And one of them... started to psychically attack him at night in his dreams, hurting him, strangling him, trying to rape him in his dreams.
Yeah,
you know,
scary.
There's something really big going on here. It's part physical, it's part dimensional, and it's part consciousness. It's a full spectrum dominance attack. All the television that we're watching, all the pornography, all it is doing is creating a low vibrational bubble here, and we're all living inside this bubble that is devoid of nutrients, is devoid of souls, devoid of anything good, so that people stop resisting the bad things, because it's all they've ever known.
That's right. It becomes normalized. Evil.
Now, there's nothing worse than that. What I really get frustrated with is people who use the term necessary evil. Oh, you know, we've got to do this to the people. You know, it's for their own good. It's a necessary evil. I got news for you, buddy boy.
Two evils.
I got news for you, buddy boy. Evil isn't necessary.
No, it's not. And it's not, you know, it's not at all beneficial. And I just want to tell a brief story about what's going on in my world. There's some guy in this that's been hanging around sitting in front of my house with the car, sitting across the street, sitting around on another block with a camera in his hand. And I went up to the window. I'm like, what are you doing? Who are you? He says, oh, I'm working for the police. I'm a detective. Do you know that the police won't do anything about this guy? Like, it's okay for somebody to be spying on someone in this neighborhood. I don't know who this guy is watching or photographing. It's okay for him to sit around these streets in his car. He changes cars, too, by the way. This has been going on for 2 days. I've called the police a couple of times, and it's not like they're doing anything about it.
Well, of course, they wouldn't exactly arrest one of their own detectives who's doing a some kind of greasy investigation with scant evidence. I mean, after all, then it would throw the whole credibility of the police into disarray, as if they've got credibility to begin with.
The credibility is crap anyway, because they're letting people spy in neighborhoods that don't even have any identification. I called them several times to say, is this man working for you? They won't answer the question.
Yeah. There's never a straight answer from cops. Hey, do you know where the term cops comes from?
No.
Very first professional police force in United States history was the NYPD. And at the time, there was a lot of crime in New York, and a lot of concerned citizens started kind of turning vigilante, and they learned skills of how to keep the public in order and that kind of thing. And so the city pulled together and they created the NYPD, led by all these people who tried to get people through training programs, so they had a very professional police squadron going along. And at the time, budget restraints were pretty extreme. Of course, with any new operation, you can't really afford all the fancy things that you want. So in order to make their badges, they made it out of the cheapest available metal, roofing copper. And so people started calling them coppers, and later on, shortened to cops.
Oh, interesting. I wonder what the word police means.
I wonder what the word fascist pig means.
Well, you know, we know what the word government means, to steer the mind. Govern.
I thought it was mind control.
Govern means to steer, mente, the mind. To steer the mind. So yeah. There's got to be some kind of meaning behind the sigils that represent the word police.
Well, actually, in New Zealand, pure methamphetamine that you would smoke out of a glass pipe is called P for pure. And in Australia, that same crystal meth type substance is called ice. And a author in New Zealand named Greg Hallett said that we should have another name for it being OL. So it becomes P, OL, ice, police.
Wow.
Because they're responsible for shipping in the frickin' meth. Which is, incidentally, one of the drugs that encourages alleged psychopath/demon possession.
Alcohol definitely does, too.
Yeah. You know that phrase, you know, what's gotten into you?
My God, you've changed in just the last hour. It's like you're possessed.
Yeah.
I think all of the drugs, including the pharmaceutical drugs, actually open our field to allow other entities in, you know?
You see, I'm kind of a flamboyant kind of person, so if I get possessed, I'll at least do it with pizzazz.
Yes? How will you look, Vinny, if you were possessed?
I would have very, very sunken eyes, and wide, bulging eyes, like I haven't slept in like a month. Incidentally, do you know what the best part about a meth addiction is?
You don't sleep.
Well, there's only 12 more sleeps till Christmas.
I don't get it.
That's because that's how many times they'll actually get to sleep from now until Christmas.
Yeah.
You don't get it.
As a young person, I actually experimented with a lot of amphetamines, you know. but my drug of preference at that time was definitely tranquilizers. Mm. They say how we're born, you know, the drugs that are used when we're born influence the kind of drugs that we choose to experiment with as adults. And even people commit suicide in ways with drugs that are similar to what was used when they were born.
Yeah. Well, that, again, tying back into the satanic agenda, that's what the CIA is actually there for, is to flood the streets with drugs and drug culture and meaningless sex and consumerism to control the banking system, you know, that kind of thing. A lot of people don't know that the CIA is privately owned. And these kind of things that are happening on the streets with those despondent people that are a result of the society that's being created to shut them out. All of the creative, good, loving, caring people get so little positive reinforcement for being good, for being loving, to being caring, that they don't love, they don't care, and they're no longer good. And they can't come back from it. It's an invariable remainder in the equation, isn't it? And if you retained your ability to be a good person, to feel empathy for somebody, I suggest you try and get stronger, because the more pain that you've felt in your life and can actually heal from it, the more people you can help who've had pain similar to yours get over theirs. It's an exponential scale of scumbaggery that goes down, and an exponential scale of humanity that goes right back up. The difference being, when you're coming down, you forget that you're not made of glass, that you can take a few hits and get back up, and that if you're self-reliant, despair is very rare indeed. And the darkness that surrounds you thrives on your despair. They love to see you miserable. They love to see you despondent. They love to see you call people conspiracy theorists and laugh at them when they're trying to tell you the truth that might save your very life.
That's right.
There's a very, very sad reality that we have to deal with. And I think most people are prepared. I think people are prepared.
We should be pissed off about it, that we have to deal with this. The drugs are also how they mind control us. The drugs create confusion and delusion and illusion. You know, that's part of what keeps us believing in this fake reality, as if it has any substance whatsoever. It doesn't.
Yeah. And isn't it interesting that if you're hopelessly addicted to substances, it means often that you're lacking substance as a person?
See, the thing about substances, Vinny, I really think, is that people are seeking to create sensations, let's say through crack or the drug ecstasy, for example, sensations that we should be able to experience naturally. Our brain should be producing oxytocin at large rates so that we could experience well-being. That's just one example. But we can't, our brain is not functioning properly because we have been so traumatized, deliberately traumatized, from the minute that we enter this dimension. And throughout our lives, even watching TV is traumatizing because it's one abusive scene after another, one demonic entity after another, one person being murdered after another.
This is why on my show I like to make jokes, have fun with my guests and that kind of thing, because often I'm talking to people who've had some of the worst traumas that humans have really even suffered through in a better part of a century. And for them to come on and laugh and be playful and really open up and share themselves, you know, in a place where of professional nature, you wouldn't feel comfortable sharing certain things. Whereas I completely accept everybody for who they are and take what they're saying to me as their genuine truth, unless of course they're mistaken about something, in which case I'll correct them or whatever. But you know, there's no fighting, there's no yelling and screaming at each other or confrontational BS. It's just a place where even though you've been in the pit of hell itself, you can come out, still have a sense of humor, and still have fun with life.
That's the goal here,
because I think people like yourself have been really hurt and damaged, and you know it does help to just laugh about some of these horrific things, even if the joke's not funny.
Have you interviewed people that have been victims of satanic ritual abuse?
Yeah. Well, in fact, in a broader sense, aren't we all victims of satanic ritual abuse?
That's true. But, so, you know, the kids that are born into those families are really...
I did actually speak with a woman not too long ago who had this this very thing happen to her. She was born in India, then sold into sex slavery in the United States, and they took her kids off her, ritualistically and sexually abused her and the kids. Frequently talk with a couple of activists here in New Zealand who are exposing the child, youth, and family services, pedophile rings, and meth dealing, that kind of thing going on. So yeah, I'd say I've spoken to more than most in terms of people that have been victims to this kind of thing, because I'm the kind of person that you can really open up to, like really, really open up to, and I won't judge you for it, you know, as long as you're being honest and genuine.
Well, that's beautiful, Vinny, and it's important that you're doing this so that people understand the extent of this that's happening. You know what I'm saying? So
it's one of my drives is to understand things. You know, I mean,
yes.
I figure the key to greatness is to try and find simple step-by-step ways of doing an impossible task. My impossible task is to understand everything that goes on Earth inside and with people. You know, be able to understand it. That's what my impossible dream is, so that when people come to me with any kind of problem, whether or not they're suffering trauma, whether or not they have a great difficulty finding their way in the world, what they want to do, I can look back on my own experience and the countless hundreds, maybe even a thousand plus at this particular point in time, and be able to draw on an enormous base of knowledge and testimony from all over the world in virtually all spectrums of discourse. This is what I've already done, but I don't know 100% yet whether I understand it all, and I'm still on my my way trying to figure out how to understand people and also how to use those understandings so that I can heal those people.
Do you mind asking how old you are, Vinny?
28.
And how long have you had your show?
3 years.
Oh, right on. And before that, you were part of the mainstream, or you were...
Before that, I was a radio host, co-host, for 6 months.
Oh, yeah?
Before that, I was on the street for 3 years with a camera. Girlfriend was basically paying for everything, picking up the rent, and I was doing a few dance party videos on the weekends and things like that just to make a few dollars to make ends meet. And before that, I quit my job as a salesperson. And Jonathan Eisen from Uncensored Magazine told me, when I asked him, you know, I was thinking of quitting my job, he said, just ask yourself one question, does it feel right? And I said, yes, it does feel right. quit my job, took my last paycheck of like $4,500 cash after tax, plus $11,900 worth of shopping vouchers for a local mall, which had all the electronic stores and everything in it, including a supermarket. And I lived off that for a year or so and started going out to public meetings and protests and getting everything covered. And YouTube gave me a bigger channel. I got to upload videos of unlimited length. I got to get offered, you know, radio shows and things like that. And I get to talk to pretty much anybody I want about any topic I could ever possibly imagine, and be right in the center of it all with the best people alive today.
And how do you sustain yourself? Do you sustain yourself solely through donations?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I've had some difficulty with advertising and the business stuff. This is not my area of expertise. My area of expertise is going out and making sure that things get covered. So if anybody wants to ensure that that keeps happening, that there is a platform for people of all spectrums of discourse to be recorded and put up online for them in decent quality and so on and so forth, then please go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. I got one person who's giving me $100 a month on automatic payment. Another person who's given me $50. And my goal is to have 500 people, roughly, at $5 a month. That way I'll have expendable income, because there is a lot of equipment that needs to be bought in order to compete toe-to-toe. I'm already beating the mainstream media on YouTube, but I also want to have the ability to broadcast on television and be able to actually steal the audience right on primetime spots, so I can destroy their media apparatus.
Yeah.
As I destroy it and steal their audience, their share prices will be going down while mine will be going up. And then it's hostile takeover time, and we'll end up having the truth movement, and I want to take this plan globally, being bigger than News Corp, and owning all the broadcasting and giving all those airwave times, all that airwave credit to the activists, the researchers, the doctors, so on and so forth, who are exposing all of these many eclectic agendas of the New World Order and inform the public as they should have been informed in the first place. And nobody will own it. Nobody will control the programming. Everybody contributes. Everybody fights. No one quits.
David Icke's also creating the People's Voice, so we're going to have some heavy-hitting main news, TV shows, and radio shows coming out. We are just about out of time. I do want to let my listeners know that we are here at freedomslips.com. Speaking of donations, this is totally listener-supported radio. So if you have the means, please do make a donation at freedomslips.com to keep this platform open. And without corporate advertising here, we want to keep this a free, open platform. So please support us if you can. Support Vinny at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Support me at birthofanewearth.com. I want to apologize again for being late. My day got out of control. So I missed the first half hour with you, but Ahmad stepped in, and I want to thank him too. Any last thoughts, Vinny, before? I think we've got about 30 seconds.
30 seconds for some last thoughts, eh? Well, I look at it this way. History is kind of like just a moment. There's only one moment. It's this moment, isn't it? And that moment stretched all the way out through history and will stretch on all throughout eternity. So in a way, we get to share a moment with anybody who has ever lived or whoever will. And it's an encouraging thought.
And it's encouraging we get to share these moments with our listeners. And with each other, and bouncing ideas off of each other, and truth-telling. Thank you to all my listeners. We'll be back next week at 8 o'clock, Channel 3, here in Brooklyn, New York. God bless you all. Good night.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.